Some years ago, a man went into a small grocery store and asked the question, "Do you have salt for sale here?" And the older owner said, "Yeah, well, what do we sell? Salt. Come on and look." And he showed him a whole wall with nothing but salt. He said, "Do we sell salt?" "Yeah, come here. I'm going to show you some more." So he took him into the back room, and wall to wall was nothing but salt. "Boy, do we sell salt. Look, come here, look at this." He took him down into the basement, and there was wall to wall, floor to ceiling, aisle after aisle, nothing but salt. And he said, "Boy, do we sell salt." Well, actually, we don't sell salt, but the salt salesman, he sells salt. We don't sell salt, we make it. You know, every church needs to be a salt factory in so many ways. When the dying, the decaying, the corrupting, decomposing souls came into contact with Jesus, who was life himself, then he cures them. And he cures them, and that word curing is almost connected directly to that idea of salt and being transformed, because that's what salt will do in a curing process. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that, but before we do, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Lord, as we prepare to do some scripture exploring this morning, calm our minds and our spirits. Help us to put away the distractions of the morning that we can be allowed to keep our focus on your word. Help us to understand, as it says in the psalm, to delight in your commandments and to be the salt and light of this world that it's so desperately seeking for. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today's gospel story was about salt and light, and focused the first part of it at least on that very much. And you can't get much more classic in that sense than those two particular words or analogies in the Christian story and faith, salt and light. Boy, they just seem to be fundamental to Bible and Christian teaching. There's been sermons and Sunday school classes and Bible studies and devotionals, denominational splits, and even political wars over what those two words mean in practice. And so it's very easy to conclude that the role of the Christian in this world today is defined in many ways by those two words as we find them in the Gospels, salt and light. So what do we mean by these exactly? And it's easy for us to come to many conclusions or even ignore the whole concept because we've heard it so many ways and so many different sources. But think about it for a moment. Salt is used all through Scripture. But the word sugar, for instance, never occurs in the Bible. In ancient times, salt was the ultimate seasoning that gave taste to food. It was the ultimate way to preserve things and alter things. Without salt, food would be almost tasteless. Jesus is saying that as salt, we need to be as salt is to food. So are Christians to this world. Christians are in the world to make it a sweeter place. That was great with this cake idea. Cake is made sweeter because of a little bit of salt that it has in it. And that's our role in so many ways, to make this world a better place, a sweeter place, by being the salt. As salt, we are called to be sweet disciples in so many ways, friendly and kind, living at peace with everyone. As light, we are called to show the way. Without light, we would literally be bumping into one another, and we could fall into the ditch at the side of the road. But the light says, here is the road, take it. Here is danger, avoid it. And that's why that lamp is there, because that sort of, that image of holding that lamp up in the dark. I remember being up in Gravenhurst many years ago with my brother-in-law, and we were camping in the bush outside of town, and we were walking into town every day. I was playing my guitar, and we were handing out Bibles and things like that. And the first night, being city guys, first night back, we didn't bring flashlights with us. And it was about 11 o'clock at night. Once we got down into the bush, it was unbelievably dark. And I actually went into the ditch at one point off the side of the road that we were, this little roadway going down in, and fell in the swampy area. And it was quite funny at the time, but also aggravating. Had I had a little lamp, it would have said, don't go there. And that's our role in so many ways, to show the right path and also to illumine where the danger is. But in practice, how do we do that? In some ways, it's the same way that salt and light do as an analogy. First, salt has to be different from the food before we can use it. If salt loses its taste, then it's useless and it can no longer make a difference. Light must be different from the darkness, and that's a logical statement, I guess, in order to be of help. A flashlight with a dead battery is no good for somebody in the dark. So for being the salt and light of the world means being different from the world. If believers have nothing that distinguishes them from being unbelievers, using those terms loosely, then they are like salt that's lost its saltiness and therefore can't make a difference. And what distinguishes us from people who don't experience our faith and understand our faith should be not so much what we claim to be or the badges and pins we wear, but the life that we live. And I'm stating the blatantly obvious here, but it's difficult to put those into practice sometimes. Jesus says in John 13:35, by this, living this life, everyone will know that you are my disciples. And we just sang about that, if we have love for one another, we're one in that spirit. Love is the distinctive mark by which you can tell a true Christian from the false. And it's the kind of love that distinguishes us. I have shared before here about the agape love, God's love, and it's that love that makes the difference. To review that, agape love, which the Christians took on at the time of the New Testament being put together in that early church, they had to find a word that described their specific kind of love that God had for them and they had for others. And we know there's, and I've gone through this before in past sermons and Bible studies, that in Greek there's about four different words, including agape, four different words to describe love. In English, we lose all that because we just use the word love. And to give you an example, I love eating hot dogs. I love my kids. I love my wife. And I love being here. Those are not the same kinds of love. I don't think that I could describe the love I have for eating hamburgers and bacon that I might have for my kids. And it's obvious when we use it in the context, but in this other language, there's a specific word that's used and automatically we know what we're talking about. And agape love is a love that is given for those that there's nothing to be received back. And all other kinds of love in that context, I like eating hamburgers and bacon because it makes me feel good. I love other people because I get something back from them. There's a reciprocity that goes on there. But in God's love, it's love that has no return. It is love for those that are unlovable. And that's the love. That's the salt that is the difference. Both salt and light operate by associating with a thing that they want to change. Think about that. Salt is salt and tastes salty because it is connected to something that's different than it. So that sweet cake, again, is a good example. It makes the cake sweeter because it is bitter. But we don't even notice the bitterness because the sweetness overrides that. But the sweetness would not be as great if the salt were not there at all. The flavor in a piece of meat comes out more when you put a bit of salt on it. It just enhances the flavor all the more. Salt cannot improve the food unless it goes onto the into the food and changes it from within. Light cannot show the way unless it encounters darkness. And I've seen some photographs on the internet recently showing a candle being lit and then somebody shining a light on it. And you can see the shadow of the candle but not the light, which is basic physics there. Why would you see a shadow from the flame? But it needs to have something in contrast. It needs that darkness to be seen and make the difference. Some Christians think the way to go is to keep away from getting involved with society and popular culture, to be apart from it completely. But salt by itself is of no use. Salt needs to be with those things. By shying away from the realities of our society and the world in which we live is really, literally, as Jesus put it, putting our light under a bushel. To make a difference, we have to get up and get involved. Now, we take salt pretty much for granted in our times, but in the ancient world, salt was very valuable. In fact, the words salary and salt have the same source because, in this times of Jesus and pre-that time, the Greeks thought it contained something divine, and the Romans often paid their soldiers with salt. And that's where we kind of, maybe we get that phrase, a soldier didn't carry out his duties, wasn't worth his salt. So you would be paid with a bag of salt. It was more valuable in so many ways than gold itself. It was hard to find, hard to pound into what it needed to be for the right mixtures, and it was very valuable. In rabbinic literature, the salt was a metaphor for wisdom. Salt was important as a preservative, and the most common interpretation of a verse in Matthew today is to see the duty of the disciples as preserving the purity of the world. This can be seen again in the Greek definition of the word salt. The people of Jesus' day heard that word in similar ways that we might have heard it today, that salt preserves, it purifies metaphorically, and maybe that's our role in our world in different ways. Matthew 5:13 says, if salt has lost its taste, how can saltiness be restored? And the issue of losing its flavor is somewhat problematic, I guess, when you think about it, because salt itself, which is sodium chloride, is extremely stable and can't really lose its flavor. But there's a common explanation for what this may have contained in an era when salt was quite impure. It contained a wide array of other compounds. And people would often, just because they were trying, because it was so valuable, people would often try to cheat others. So they would mix salt with other things so that it would still look like salt, but it really wasn't pure salt. And the more it gets mixed down and more it gets used, the more that salt disappears and all you're left with is the other components that it was mixed with and loses its saltiness, and it's useless in that respect. Salt can be seen in different ways, as I've said, as a preservative. It stings, it heals, it seasons, and it causes thirst. So although the concept of salt and light may be seen at times overstated within our Christian context, salt is extremely important, not only to us, but really to the world at large. We need to be a beacon of God's light and a purifier of God's world in the ways in which we speak and we live. And that's what Jesus is pointing out. It's living differently. If anything else, Christianity should be a countercultural kind of perspective on things. We shouldn't be the norm. We should be those that sit on the outside edges, that are making a difference in the way we live. And especially today in the world in which we live. I mean, I was looking over my news feed this morning, and the coronavirus is out there, and there's shootings taking place, and there's all sorts of just item after item after item. There's a panic that's going around the world today for all kinds of different reasons. We're to be the difference. We're to make that difference in the way that we live and how we approach life. We have something that many people don't have, and that's the peace and the love of God in our lives. We need to be practicing that, being that salt and being that light. Seeking to live a righteous life, which is walking close to God, demands that we must be just the right amount of saltiness, if you want to use the analogy further. Just bright enough of a light to add to things, not to spoil them. Not so bright that we burn things up, not so salty that we make things bitter, but just that right amount of difference that makes a difference in the world in which we live. Verse 16 says, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. That's verse 16 in Corinthians. Let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. That's our challenge in this life today. Amen. Like a spring whose waters never fail, God calls us to share what we've received. Let us now bring our offerings and tithes before God.